Good morning and welcome to everyone. We're glad you're here safely. And we're so happy that you're here. We hear a lot about you, Sarah, right? And you're a blessing and we're welcome to you to be here today. Okay, so let's think about our moms. Recall a person in the past or present who gave you mother love. Nurturing, embracing, compassionate, guiding, fierce, unconditional love. See and feel the love in your heart to acknowledge it as such, and stay open to receiving more of that mother love in healthy ways. Continue to give thanks for that special person or the people who have cherished you and shared with you the good news of Jesus. Take time to call her today and say a special thank you, or go to prayer to give thanks for this woman who has loved you so. And we give thanks for all of those who have loved us unconditionally as children. And we give thanks for the children of today's world. May they grow up to embrace the love of Jesus Christ. Today, my sermon title is called The Holy Spirit, and my next week will probably be Holy Spirit Part 2, because I found it amazing the more I read, the more I studied, the more people I talked to about this. It's an exciting topic for me. So, The Holy Spirit Part 1. Think for a moment about the wind and how the wind can change, can affect our lives. 2 weeks ago on Friday, both May and Marion came to the church and I was very concerned. I thought that they could possibly blow and roll away coming into Fellowship Hall. So I went to the windows to watch them to make sure that they could safely get into the church. Violent, crazy wind, and it was the very first time I really kind of felt nervous sitting in Fellowship Hall as things were blowing by. You could hear things rattling. And yet the wind can be a warm, steady breeze that feels delightful on a summer day. The wind must be respected. Never think that just because it's invisible that it is unimportant or weak in any way. John 3:8 reads, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The Spirit works in his renewal of human hearts as he pleases. He is sovereign, possessing ultimate power. He is unrestrained and absolute. The Spirit within us discourages us from sinful activity. The Spirit helps us in our efforts to lead pleasing lives that honor God." The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All are equal with divine attributes. The Holy Spirit has also been called the Spirit of God. Do you know of any other names for the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of promise. The very first reference to the Holy Spirit is made in what book of the Bible? Yes. Genesis 1:2. It is that important that it is in the very first book of the Bible. "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." We become more aware of God's loving presence when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. John 14:15-21. "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, But you know him, and he lives with you and will be in you. The people who have held on to the Holy Spirit during this time of COVID, which has been very lonely and very scary, have been able to walk with God. And they don't feel so alone. It is amazing to think of that our Christian faith has helped so many people, and the Holy Spirit has helped so many people through this time of trial. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We are never alone. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who lives. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This last week we had gone over Selah moments. Okay? So I hope and pray that you did feel God's Spirit last week as you practiced these moments. We reviewed moments of pausing and reflecting intentionally in order to turn and to focus on God at any moment throughout the day. The ideas we shared were to be silent, to pause, to interrupt, to accentuate, to exalt, to pray, and to end the day with reflection. My Selah moment, and I will ask you for a Selah moment if any of you experienced it during the week, then perhaps you'll be willing to share with us. My Selah moment was when I was running through the drugstore to pick up items that we needed. So my mother was in the car. And because she's in the car, I tend to run a little bit faster. And then I went through the card aisle, and I'm looking for cards. And then I went through the dollar aisle, bargains. So I was picking up bargains. And then I was like, my mother's in the car. So I'm running through the store, and I got to the front, and I was just like, breathe, breathe. And it dawned on me that not everyone has a drugstore where they can run through and get whatever they need, and sometimes it only costs a dollar. There are people in this world who don't have that at all. They can't buy napkins. They don't have paper plates. There is not medicine. And I just paused at the front of the store, and I was letting people go ahead of me. Of course, I had half of a cart, and have a good day. You can go ahead of me. Sure, you can go ahead of me. So after the third one, it was my turn, and I started putting things on the counter, and this gentleman, I believe it was a millennial, who I love millennials, he said, when I offered for him to come forward, he said, no, that was very nice, but I have all day, and I'll go after you. And so I checked out, but I seriously took that moment to give thanks for the things that we have here in America, that I have the ability to be in that store and purchase whatever I needed. And I checked out, and I looked at my cart, and I still had barrettes on the bottom of my cart, kind of blended in with the cart. I said, oh, let me pay for this with cash. And this gentleman stepped up, the young guy behind me, and he said, oh, no, I would like to pay for that because you were so kind letting everybody go ahead of you. Let me pay for your barrettes. And he paid for my barrettes. And I turned around, I just said, oh, God bless you, and how kind that was. But that was a really neat moment, and then it gave him the opportunity also to share an act of kindness with me. It was really neat. It was really neat. I don't know if any of you take the time to pause, to reflect, to interrupt your day?
Especially when I'm driving.
Yeah. Think about God. Think about the rules of the road, but then think about God too.
Well, I have a tendency of getting a little impatient.
Oh.
I'm driving.
Yeah.
And it's something that I want to, eliminate.
Okay.
So, I just have to, remind myself when I feel that
impatience coming on. Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of just let it dissipate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and there's no rush. You're going to get there when you're going to get there.
Good. That's very healthy as well.
So, yeah, I try to work on other aspects of that. It's just having patience in general.
Right.
Being patient.
Yeah. Marian shared a moment with me that she had been reading in a journal, and it really made sense for today's world. If I say it wrong, you have to let me know. She was reading that when people say things that you don't necessarily agree with, or say things that make you upset, don't answer back in anger or upsetness. When you answer back and you say something positive, it changes the whole dynamics of your conversation. People will not always feel the way you do or think as you do, but if you answer, you don't have to agree with the person, but if you answer in a positive way, it will change someone's thinking. It will change your thinking. So I thought that was really neat that she shared that with me this week. Would anyone else like to share a Sila moment, a moment giving grace, giving thanks to God? And we'll move on. The Father has sent the Holy Spirit to us as a teacher of all things, to bring remembrance what Christ taught. The Holy Spirit is our helper and our comforter. 11 of the disciples knew that the Holy Spirit was with them and recognized that as time went on, the Holy Spirit would be within them. Their discipleship was only the beginning. The Holy Spirit would not be passive within them. He would be active and involved. The dependence on Jesus' life continued in a greater measure through the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death. You know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and in the believer is a long, lifelong union. Jesus understood that the disciples and the believers in the future would need God's presence in their lives to keep his commands. Theologian Charles Spurgeon wrote, "A man is saved because Christ died for him. He continues saved because Christ lives for him. The sole reason why the spiritual life abides is because Jesus lives." We know that when we love Jesus, we work at keeping his commands. We are encouraged to be obedient to his word to please him. There are two commands I found that ought never be broken. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus prayed to the Father on our behalf for another helper that would stay with us forever. The Holy Spirit came to walk beside us and to assist us to live a life wherein these commands may be kept. Conviction, assurance, passion, these all occur within our hearts upon receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to repent and live as God's children. There is a form of regeneration that occurs in our lives when we feel things differently. Repentance is the ability to say, I'm sorry. To say I'm sorry to God, to say I'm sorry to a family member, to say I'm sorry to a friend. Repentance is a skill that we can all learn, and it's a vital skill in our lives. Excuse me. A believer needs to turn to the Bible, to go to church, to talk with others about Christ, to learn from a Bible study, write things down, talk to people, read, learn the answers to your questions. Write down how you have experienced the Holy Spirit in your life. It is an empowering time as a believer chooses to share the good news with others. The more you study and write and learn and experience, the more able you will feel to share with others. Perhaps others will learn not by hearing your conviction, but by seeing your conviction in the way you act daily. Others may not be may not be available to you to actually share the Holy Spirit with them, but they're listening to your words and they're watching your actions. The true evidence of the Holy Spirit in us is love. God baptizes us with love. Coming to Christ allows the Spirit to rule over the flesh and the soul. We may not even understand it all. Sometimes, because we don't understand it all, we're afraid to share our faith with others. We may not understand it all, but we will, in ourselves, have noticed a difference. And if you're sharing in love and you make mistakes, it's okay. Have faith in knowing that God understands it all. John 14:22-27. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Judas surely appreciated being able to see Jesus in his glory and wondered why the whole world would not have the privilege of seeing him. It was through love and obedience that the disciples recognized Jesus as the Son of the Father. Jesus highlighted his full reliance upon God the Father. Jesus knew that those who had a personal relationship with him would live out their lives in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Peace I leave with you. If more people felt that peace, when bad things are happening in the world and we turn with peace in our hearts to God, we feel better. We take action to make our world a little better. What a gift. Peace I leave with you. When we love, honor, and obey God's commands, the Father and the Son come to you and make their home with you. The Holy Spirit will come alongside of you and walk with you through joyful and trying times. You, as a believer, will learn and gain insight to having inner peace, to having the Holy Spirit walking with you. Jesus knew that the teaching was not finished for his disciples. He shared that the Holy Spirit would continue to help and comfort and teach about living as a Christian. And I believe that they had a sense of peace, knowing they would not be walking alone. It is customary to depart with a wish of peace, shalom, goodbye. Peace I leave with you was more formal, a more formal way of saying, God be with you. Jesus would leave his disciples with the peace of Jesus himself and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. When God created each of us, he gave us a will and a mind of our own. For an array of reasons, some people are choosing not to seek the will of God. Both Christians and non-Christians have been deciding to work out their own problems for life and create their own plan for living. This spiritual condition could be from not feeling joy or an unnatural love for money, abundance, or showing little concern for others, experiencing anger or impatience. These are things that happen to human beings when we walk away from God. Bill Bright wrote, "There is no one more miserable than a Christian out of fellowship with Christ." Fellowship with Christ brings us peace, allows the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. One of the saddest tragedies is when a Christian conforms to the standards of a non-faith-filled community. Some become afraid to be different from them or ashamed to witness to them. "I don't know enough to share. What if they ask me questions and I don't know the answers about my faith?" Some become afraid to be different and ashamed to witness about our Lord. This fear, not being liked or included with others, keeps some people from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Keep on keeping on is what came to my mind. Trust in the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." People will see that you have God in your life. They will see a brighter light from you. Psalm 147:11, "The Lord delights in those who fear, reverence, worship, and admire the Lord. These things lead to obedience in him." So the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Know today when you leave our church that his love is unfailing. Our time here on this earth is very brief. Make a careful evaluation of how you invest your time and talents in order to accomplish the most for the cause of Jesus Christ. Be sensitive to his leading. Continue on with those Sila moments. Take the moments, interrupt your day to turn to Jesus, to give him thanks. As you become accustomed to the Spirit-filled life, you will become Christ-centered, and you will have many wonderful experiences. I have been blessed with experiences wherein the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, telling me what my next step should be or who I should share with about Jesus. The Spirit knows all things, and if you and I are filled with his presence and his power, we will always have the right thing to say to those in need. Those in need are listening to you and watching you. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit by faith, and you will begin some great adventures. As he takes control of your life, you will become more like Christ. Your way of life will include a desire to do the will of God, leading a life which will please and honor Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all of the moms and the women who have motherly love to share. Please lift up our moms, allow them to have joy, and allow them to feel blessed today, this week, and throughout the year. Father, we thank you for Ellen being here and her love for Mike. Michael, we just appreciate them so much, and we want to surround Ellen with love and care at this time, and we pray that she has warm, loving memories that will console her. Thank you for those who are caring for Ellen. St. Augustine wrote this prayer to the Holy Spirit. "Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. In your precious name, amen." And now we allow time for sermon response.